You're listening to Eye on the Ball with Steve Rivera. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera. Now let's go to the phone line and talk to Greg Hansen of the Arizona Daily Star. Greg, how are you?
Steve, I'm so glad you got a drive time program now. You can take on all challengers and show your vast knowledge of Tucson sports.
Well, thank you very much, Greg. I really appreciate it. It's probably out of my weight class. That means I do have to lose some weight to get into the class here.
You're in the class.
We'll see what happens. I enjoy it, though. It's a good time for me. But thanks a bunch, and thanks for listening. Hey, you follow golf very closely. I know the Arizona women team lost today to Duke. But had they won, let's assume for a second, had they won, and I don't do this very often, how big would it have been going back-to-back in this sport?
When you watch it and realize how difficult it is to even get in the final group of eight, that's when you come to understand what Arizona accomplished last year and over the last 30 years. I watched the end of the Duke-Wake Forest match this afternoon. It was great theater. I don't know if you saw it, but it almost made you cry for the Wake Forest girl who hit the bad shot in overtime. But Arizona being in that company, with their lineup turning over and the way they have to recruit globally, is just, I mean, who has a more difficult job on campus other than the tennis coaches probably recruiting than the golf coaches do? You've got to get people from every point of the planet, and that's what Laura Iannone has been able to do.
She's, you've been here a long time, longer than me, and I've been here a fairly long time. Among the characters that we speak to, the Candreas, the Frank Bushes, the Fred Harveys, the guys that you love talking to because they have great stories, they're good to talk to. Laura is one of them. She's a bubbly, funny, just down-to-earth person.
But I think Laura could get a job just as a consultant to head coaches in college sports around the country, just talking about how to deal with your athletes and how to deal with people. She's so good at it, at communication and expressing herself, and you can see how it reflects on her players. They're all forthcoming and they're friendly and they're smiling, and I mean, it's just so different than a lot of college sports.
No question. In fact, I think that college sports has kind of gotten away from communication and become less forthright and transparent. But the minor sports, thankfully for Arizona, have carried the athletic program in the last year or so.
Well, you couldn't have said it any better, because in this last UVA sports season, it always put a smile on my face to go to McHale Center and see Dave Rubio or Adia Barnes.
Yes.
Or Fred Harvey. I mean, the people who aren't in the limelight, but they just, it should be what college sports is all about, is engaging people and having fun and not being angry. And, yeah, I mean, where's it all going?
Yeah, and I don't know when everyone's trying to convince me, well, it's all changed. I don't know if it's changed. I think the people have changed. They're making it more less transparent and more us against you.
That us against you stuff, it's never going to fly. And it's, right now, Tucson has a lot of the us against you stuff. And I know some other campuses in the Pac-12 do, but, I mean, Dick Tomey didn't have to be us against you to be successful. Lute Olson didn't have to be. Jerry Kindle didn't have to be.
Yeah.
It's just, I mean, those are the icons in the history of Tucson sports, and they were people you were glad to see.
Oh, no question. And someday we're not happy to see you or me, but they spoke to you anyway.
Yeah, it's just, you probably had the same experience, but watching Arizona's women's team down the stretch this year was as enjoyable as anything I've ever been involved in all the years I've been doing that. And the same thing now going to Hillenbrand Stadium every weekend to watch Mike Candrea and the softball players. It just, I mean, I feel like I'm 21 years old again. I can't wait to get over there and watch.
Right, right. Good stories to tell, good people to write about, and not that we do this as a profession or as people, but it's easy to pull for them if you have to, from our end, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, you know, when we were there yesterday and Mike Andrea came out and some of his players came out and talked, it was just...
refreshing? Refreshing?
Yeah, it was like, man, you get paid to do this and talk to pleasant people.
Right. Who have good stories to tell. I mean, I can't remember if it's ever happened, but I could talk to Gendry and listen to his stories all day because he never bores. And he's always giving you some kind of philosophical nugget.
Yeah, and you can see right away why he's so successful as a Hall of Fame coach and probably the pioneer of the sport. It's just because he chose to be out front, a people person, and maybe he recruits better because of that. Maybe he retains players because of that better, wins games because of that, but it sure works.
Yeah, no question. Let's see if he gets back to the World Series. I think this has been the thorn in his side the last few years. Good enough, sometimes have a good enough team to get there. Just blind luck or whatever kind of luck you want to talk about, just hasn't allowed him to get there.
If someone had told you in 2010 that Arizona wouldn't go to the College World Series for the next 8 years, what would you have said?
I would have said, so who's coaching the team?
Yeah. And they had really good players. But as we both know, you got to have that one stud pitcher.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And they had him. O'Toole was darn good 2 years ago. Yeah. And just that one pitch that got away and it was hit over the fence.
Okay, of all the sporting events you've been to in Tucson in all the time you've been here, have you ever seen a more sad time than that night the softball team lost to Baylor?
Well, let me tell you, I was not at the event. In fact, I was home in Santa Fe for the weekend, and I'm thinking, oh, they'll be there. There's no problem. And I read all the stories, and I saw the clips, and I'm thinking, how in the world did this happen? And yeah. It was like a bomb had gone off at Hillebrand.
And it wasn't just the players, it was the fans.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
They're so heavily invested. The 2,800 people who go there every game, it's like they take it personally. And they know what's going on there. They know the players. They know the personalities. They know the history. And it's just such an investment there. That's what I'm looking forward to this weekend because, you know, you don't have to be a cheerleader to say this, but it's a special time and place for sports. And I know it's not Major League Baseball or, you know, the Rose Bowl or anything, but it's really a special place.
No question. It's funny, the only other thing I can compare it to that I've actually was at was the meltdown in Rosemont in Chicago. Fateful night when Arizona was 15 points up and couldn't close the deal.
Yeah, that's a good call. I've been trying to think what compares to that softball loss to Baylor, and obviously, that Illinois loss is probably 1A to the softball's 1B.
No question. With two Hall of Fame coaches involved, and you're thinking, how did this happen? You wonder, how did this happen? Because it was nuts. In the book that you write, this doesn't happen.
Yeah, and what's strange was, that was Lute Olson's last call.
Yeah.
And you wonder if that Baylor game was Mike Candrea's last call. Looking ahead, you know, next year, maybe Arizona doesn't have the knockout pitcher, and maybe this year is the one chance to get there with Taylor McQuillan. So,
yeah,
there's a lot at stake this week.
No question, because you never know what's going to happen. You know, I was talking, I don't know if you heard the conversation I was on with Frank Burleson, who you and I have been associated with for a long time. Let me hold that thought. We have a call in. Scott, thanks for the call.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
How are you, Scott?
I'm pretty good.
What do you got
for us?
Yeah, I know
you guys are talking about some of the biggest losses in U of A history. I think you would have to talk about the 2018 DeAndre Ayton flame out to Buffalo by 20-plus points. I don't think anyone saw that coming.
Yes, that's one. I think that's one in the top five, only because it was surprising. Would you think the same thing? Although Greg and I have been to a number of first-round losses that are unexplainable.
That didn't compare to being in Atlanta to watch East Tennessee State beat Arizona,
right,
or so Salt Lake than Santa Clara beat Arizona, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you, because this Buffalo team, the team that lost to Buffalo, you can kind of see that they just didn't like each other. And in fact, Sean had talked about it 2 months before that he wasn't sure he can get across to the guys. But you're right, Santa Clara and then East Tennessee State. The East Tennessee State, well, both of them. I was there, you were there, and it's like, wow. The Santa Clara game, Chris Mills had a horrible game, got in foul trouble, couldn't score after that. And then East Tennessee State, that was just, what the heck just happened?
Yeah, but definitely had some.
Go ahead, Scott.
I'm so sorry. Yeah, Lou definitely had some flameouts. The saving grace was always the Final Four he would sprinkle in every 4 to 5 years. And you guys were talking about some former players. One of my favorite players growing up when I was a kid was Matt Althick when he was on the team.
Well, he was a senior at the time when they lost to East Tennessee State. Him, Womack, and Rooks. But you were going to say something, Greg?
I mean, you're talking about the biggest disappointing losses in U of A history and unexpected. In 1989, Arizona's baseball team was ranked number one in the country, and they had Scott Erickson and J.T. Snow and Trevor Hoffman and all those guys. And they lost at home to Long Beach State in the regionals, and that was a tear fest like few I've ever seen.
Right, yeah.
And the only other one that I would think of is the game that U of A lost to Oregon to go to the Rose Bowl and the Sendejas missed kicks. I was at the game, and I was one of the stupid fans on the field early, thinking we're going to the Rose Bowl, and then it just didn't happen, and that definitely hurt.
Yeah, there's been a few. There's been a few. In fact, I know that Anthony Gemito and Jay Gonzalez were talking about the Cal game football. You would know this. In 98, Greg, I wasn't there, so 98, 94, whatever games that was, do you remember that?
93 at Cal. I was standing on the sideline when a tip pass got intercepted by Cal and returns for a touchdown to swing the game in the last 3 minutes. And I'll never forget Teddy Bruschi standing there 10 feet away from me just going, what just happened?
Right, right. No, let me tell you, especially when they beat Cal, anything could happen against Cal, whether they were good or bad. It had that ASU feel to it in terms of whoever messed up first was going to lose.
Yeah, well, we could talk all hour about the football stuff and how it didn't work out.
Yeah, no questions. Hey, Scott, thanks for calling in. Appreciate
it. Thank you.
Yeah, yeah. Greg, so I'm sure you, I don't know if I want to get into basketball with you anymore because it's already old. We'll get the notice of NCAA allegations. You saw that came out today. Now it's kind of like sit and wait until we hear what's going on.
Yeah, and it's, you know, as odd as it seems, if you look forward to next year, Arizona might win the league.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not going to be a good league. Washington now suddenly looks like it could be good enough to win 12 games. And Colorado, I think Colorado will be the favorite going in.
Mm-hmm.
But Arizona, what if these guys are better than the last few groups of freshmen? Then Arizona could win.
Yeah, no question. I was telling Frank, the only problem I have with a freshman coming in with the class that they have is that am I going to hold my hope on a bunch of freshmen?
Yeah, I mean, you think back to the Brandon Randolph group and those guys, you know, that didn't work out.
No, no. And then now you just sprinkle these guys in with the group they just had? Good luck with that. Good. That's a lot to ask for.
Yeah. But again, the Pac-12 is not going to be a national power, so you can win 12 games.
Yeah, no question. And well, let's see if it's going to be good enough to keep them, give them a high enough seed to kind of maybe win a game or two in the tournament. Let me ask you something, because we talk about this every now and again, not so much on the air, but amongst ourselves. I hadn't talked to you about it. But the Pac-12, I tried to have Wilner on the show today and couldn't get him. But do you think, and you, we all have connections in the Pac-12, you know, we talk to who we talk to. Do you think at the end of the day, this is a dumb question, but I want to hear what you say, that Scott, Larry Scott, has any clue about self-evaluation and what he's doing financially with this group?
My guess, pure guess, is that he's been scared. And he knows his vulnerability now, but how do you feel vulnerability when you already have made more than $30 million in your life and you've still got $20 million left on your contract? So what if they fire him? You know, he's, what, 50 or 55 years old? He has enough money that his hair grew back in.
That's true. It's very funny to me, though, because I don't know what he's done. I'm sure he's kind of done what he's done, and I just haven't noticed or whatever made the conference better. But, man, it's like he continues to shoot himself in the foot. I don't know if it's purposely or otherwise. The basketball stuff when he was in the suites and whether it was given to him or not, the perception is just horrible.
I've never heard of a college conference commissioner with a reputation like his. And you probably haven't either. And, I mean, it's one misstep after another. And he just still, like, I was listening to his press conference on Monday afternoon, and it was the same thing. It's just, he's above the fray almost. He thinks he's untouchable. And
do you think it's because... I'm sorry.
No, it's just there's so many new athletic directors and presidents in the league that his position is unstable now.
Right, right. But with him still on the budget, or is him still on the clock to get paid?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's very strange.
As well as I do. When he was hired, it was teed up for him.
Oh, yes.
Because for 30 years, Tom Hanson had been the commissioner, and I thought he did a good job, but times change. And so when Larry Scott came in, the media rights deal was sitting there. You could have negotiated it. I could have negotiated it. And that's his only crowning point so far, is getting that new media rights deal.
And what has it done for him lately? Getting crushed publicity-wise on the West Coast, because he's always going to suffer. Whoever, it's a West Coast deal. You got your time zone, and no one's going to change that. And look at the reflection of how good the teams have been over the last 10 years. Not very good in basketball and football, that's for darn sure.
You know, I see that lumped on Larry Scott a lot. And to be fair, sometimes I wonder, is that really his fault that Pac-12 basketball hasn't been good and that Pac-12 football hasn't produced a playoff team? You know, I don't know if it trickles up that far. To me, that should go more on the coaches than the athletic directors.
Yeah, to be fair, probably. To be fair. Hey, you have time to spend with me after the break here?
Sure.
About another 7 minutes. We'll take a couple minutes here and then another 7 minutes to go about 6:30. Thanks a bunch, Greg. Let's take a break here, Tom. 10:30 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Hey, welcome back. I'm Steve Rivera on AM 1030 The Voice, and I'm talking with Arizona Daily Star sports columnist Greg Hanson. Hey, let's do something here real quick that you and I and some of the other guys would be doing if I were still on the road with you guys. We'd be at the electric station in Eugene, Oregon, BSing over, you know, BS that we talk about, but having some fun with it. So let's assume for a second, and I think we can all agree on this, that Sean Elliott is the best player to ever play here in basketball. Who would be number two?
I say Damon Stoudemire.
I'm with you on that. And you may be the only one I agree with, because it to me, that's, I didn't even think about it. That's who it is to me.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
What about three?
Career or one season?
No. I'm talking about U of A. You could do it either way, but 1 year is kind of like sketchy.
Yeah. Career. Oh, that's a good one. I wouldn't say Miles Simon.
Nope.
Jason Terry.
Yeah, I would go with Jason Terry as well. I would go with Jason Terry as well. Career-wise, yes. Even though you can kind of throw in best players too, but I would go with Jason Terry as well. Let me just think. Okay, let's go with Jason Terry, three. Who's four?
I would probably go with Khalid, but I know his freshman year, he didn't start as a freshman, but
he was fantastic.
Was the best ever.
He was fantastic, and he was crucial his junior and senior year. So, yeah, I think we're on the same page. If you go with Khalid, I would include Bibby maybe four or five.
Because of the impact he had. Yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah, so is that our top five? I'm not a good counter. So that's top five, right?
But, you know, and we were both here, no list would be complete without Steve Kerr.
No question. I think that, yeah, because he's iconic and what he means to everything. But as a player, he's not in the top 10.
Yeah.
But what he meant to the program, no question.
Yeah.
Yeah. So go with your six. Get your second five.
Well, second five. Oh, man. You want to go before Lute?
If you would know who they are, and then I would trust your experience with those guys, because I don't know.
In the second 10, I think you would have to put Bob Elliott and Al Fleming.
Bob Elliott and Al Fleming. Okay, that's good. I'm not going to argue with that. Where would Richard Jefferson, Gilbert Arenas, although he was only here for 2 years. And I think that's...
I really like Richard, but he was never an all-pack 10 player.
Yeah, no, I get it. I totally get it. You know he was good. He just wasn't the numbers guy.
Yeah. Would you put Salim or Channing Frye in there? Jason Gardner.
Oh, yeah, because he's kind of like the Iron Man of the group.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you're also thinking 90-99. It's funny, I talked about Matt Muehlbach, and you know this better than me. What a competitor, mean, tough dude he was, even though he looked like, John Boy.
Remember that game they played at Oklahoma about 1990, and Oklahoma was like the best team on the planet, and Matt Muehlbach was a stud. He held his own against they had such a good team, and Matt Muehlbach in that atmosphere that day just was so good. I don't know if a college basketball player can be better than Matt was that day. So I've always listed to mentioning him as one of the top players ever here.
Yeah, no question. Now we're stuck, though. We're stuck like 8 or 9. Khalid, I'm just thinking 2001, Richard, Gilbert, Luke was
Michael
okay.
Michael Wright was, yeah.
I think he's top 15. It's funny. I'm sure you see, because you're always on the internet, you see the kids to do their list today, and it's nobody after the 2000 or before the 2015 year. You know what I'm saying? It's
yeah, they put Stanley Johnson in there.
Yeah, right. I think he had the potential. Well, look at Andre Iguodala. Who would you take before Stanley Johnson? I would take Andre Iguodala, who's unbelievably good.
Yeah, he's I love Judd Bushler. He was
another guy. Yep.
He was a clutch player. You know, the Pac-12 tournament, he was a player of the year. He was so good. I kind of err on the side. Oh, wait a minute. We both forgot one. Chris Mills.
Oh, yeah. No, in fact, I still say to this day, and I ask Frank about this, everybody that knows the question I would ask, isn't he the most underrated player to ever play here?
Yes. And I would say he's, if he came along now, Chris Mills, he would be, the next big thing.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Could do everything and do everything well.
Yeah. And he was tough.
Yeah. You don't want to mess with Chris.
No.
No, he could shoot from distance, get the rebounds if you needed them. That's why that Santa Clara game was just so perplexing. You know,
yeah.
He was his senior year.
He got in foul trouble.
Yeah. Yeah. And everyone talks about Steve Nash being on the team. Steve Nash had nothing to do with that win, outside of hitting some free throws near at the end of the game, because it was that other floppy-haired kid that that won the game for them.
Yeah, that guy looks like a member of the Beach Boys.
Yeah, he did. He did at the time. Yeah. We got to continue this topic on other sports, because I enjoy going back and talking about the best players. We're probably missing a time or two. How good was Conneil Norman?
I watched him when I lived in Salt Lake City and in the WAC days, and Arizona came up every year. And I remember going to watch one weekend. I watched Arizona play BYU and Utah.
Mm-hmm.
And I've talked about this with Bob Elliott. Conneil scored 38 at BYU that night, and he probably had what would be 10 three-pointers today, but, of course, no three-pointers in those days. And he came along at the wrong time. The NBA was probably, 20 teams then, and now it's 30?
Yeah.
But he didn't have a long NBA career, and the three-pointer wasn't installed. If a guy like Conneil Norman came along now, he could make more than $100 million in the NBA. And, he only played parts of one season.
Let me throw this guy at you, because you mentioned Jason Gardner. What about Russell Brown compared to Jason Gardner?
I saw a lot of Russell because that's when I lived in Oregon, when Oregon State was the best team in the country for a while. And every year Arizona came up, and I came down here to watch Oregon State, Arizona a few times. He just wasn't a shooter. He was a good passer. And, he was an NBA prospect. He was like PJC.
Oh, yeah.
He was built, too, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. In the recent times, I don't know if I could put Markkanen on that list. I don't think I could put Ayton on this. Obviously good, but they would have to deserve a different category. Even though
Nick Johnson,
yeah, another tough guy, guy who liked to win, won, and Salim, of course. And how could you, if you love Steve Kerr, you got to love T.J. McConnell.
Oh, for 2 years, who would you want to be your point guard more than he was?
They missed a T.J. If they had half a T.J. McConnell.
Oh, man. If they had T.J. McConnell in 2017 and 2018, they would have gone to the Final Four.
Yeah, no question, because he would not have let them put up with a bunch of BS.
Yeah, I hear you.
Greg, thanks for calling in. We'll do this again in the summer. I always enjoy going back and talking about this stuff.
Thanks, Steve. I'll see you later.
All right, thanks. And thanks for listening. Appreciate it. Hey, that was Greg Hansen of the Arizona Daily Star, one of my traveling companions when I covered the team with the Citizen. And we have those type of discussions throughout our discussions on the road because we had nothing else to talk about. It was the good old days. We're expecting a call here any time now. We're not allowed to go to break now because that would be our last one. Is that correct, Tom?
It is our last break, but there's nothing to prevent you from...
No.
Wait a minute. This may be our caller now.
Yes. I think we got it. Thank you. We're going to talk about boxing now. And... see how we go with this. Del Sol has a big event going on tomorrow. I'll probably head out there tomorrow at some point to cover it after the show here. It's the Roy Jones Jr. card. Kind of threw it on us real quickly here, so it'll be fun. I think maybe a 6-card fight. We'll talk to Lisa Veltri. Are you there? Are you there? Oh, not yet. I guess Tom is trying to flirt with her or something. I'm not too sure what's going on here. But it's like I say, a boxing match tomorrow, a boxing card tomorrow, at least 6 fights. If you haven't got your tickets, it's a good venue to go watch the fights. And it's at the casino. Hey, how bad could it be? Lisa, how are you? Good to talk to you.
I'm great. Hi, how are you?
Fine, thank you. A nice card tomorrow. You kind of snuck up on us in Tucson with this nice card with Roy Jones Jr.
Yeah, we're pretty excited about it. We're excited to have the local kids from Tucson be able to showcase their talent and let their fans see them.
Is this your first card here through the years?
No, this is actually our, I want to say, 3rd in Tucson, but probably 5th or 6th here in Arizona.
Okay. What have you heard about the boxing crowd in town, especially when you have locals?
Oh, that they're just phenomenal, exciting, and excited to have us here, and they just love Roy, so that's even better.
Yeah, how did today's weigh-in go?
Weigh-ins were really good. We had one situation where someone didn't come in on weight, but you know that happened.
Hey, let me tell you something. If I had to do a weight thing, I'd never come in weight. So I understand it completely.
Yeah, I don't think I could 10 pounds in a day.
No, if you know how, tell me how, so I could do it. I need to do about 20.
They need to share their secrets.
Exactly. Tell me how many fights tomorrow on the card.
We have 6 tomorrow.
6 tomorrow. And what time do the doors open, and when's the first fight?
Doors open at 5 p.m. here in Del Sol, and the first fight starts at 6. And then we go live on UFC Fight Pass at 7 o'clock.
7 o'clock. Okay, cool. My show ends at 7, so I'll hurry down and try to get down there. Where are you going to be? Are you going to be outside or inside?
We're outside.
Oh, so great.
Gotta get some fresh air.
Yeah, no. Especially with the weather being so great, it's going to be nice outside. Have you had a show outside yet there?
We have. 2 years ago, we actually did Emmanuel Robles.
Oh, okay.
We fought, but yeah, it was a great show.
Yeah, no. It's a great venue to have a card outside with the kind of the amphitheater there and with the great seats. There's not a bad seat in the house.
Well, you know, Casino del Sol has been fantastic to us. They've always been very welcoming. It's almost like we're coming home, you know, welcome arms. So it's like family every time we come back.
Sure. What's the main event and who's involved?
Well, our main event is Ikram Kerwat versus Simone da Silva. Ikram da Silva is the first female fight to be featured on the UFC Fight Pass of the series. And Ikram is actually trained by Roy Jones Jr. himself.
Okay.
So it's a pretty exciting fight. Ikram is from Germany, and Simone is actually from Brazil.
I've seen Roy Jones has been here before. I think he was doing some color commentary too, wasn't he?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And he's actually been here at Casino del Sol when we had our fights here a couple of years ago.
Yes, okay. Then maybe that's how I'm kind of tying the two together. So no question. They do. So how many locals do you have on the card?
We have two. We have Nicholas Rhodes, who will actually open up the card, as well as, Alfonso Oliveira, who is actually our special attraction of the night.
What time is that at?
He's actually going to go on after our main event.
Oh, okay, good. Yeah, so that'll keep the people in the seats, the locals?
Yes, absolutely. We were excited because it's not the first time Alfonso has been on our card.
Oh, yeah, great. How much are the tickets?
Tickets start at $15. And that is for the lawn seats. And then they go up to 105 for ringside.
Oh, great. Like I said, there's no bad seat in the house, even on the lawns. Even on the lawn, if you just kind of want to take a blanket and just sit out there and enjoy the night.
And it's a great family night as well. I know there's a lot of graduations happening. So if you guys kind of want to just stay and hang out at the graduation and just plop yourselves on the lawn and see Roy Jones Jr. and his proteges.
Yeah, no question. What type of feedback have you gotten since you've arrived in preparation for this?
Just been phenomenal. I've had a lot of people reach out, you know, loving on Roy, loving on the fighters, just excited that we're at Casino del Sol, just the fact that we're back in Tucson, you know, bringing UFC. So, you know, UFC is a huge part of what Roy Jones Jr. Boxing Promotions does now. So anything that we can bring to Tucson it's just welcomed with open arms.
And you think you said there's the women's fight is the main event?
Yes, it is.
How often does this happen? It doesn't happen too often.
No, stated, this is the first time that a woman has been featured as the main event on UFC Fight Pass.
On your card, yes. Okay, yes.
On our card, yes.
Typically. Mm-hmm. Why now?
She's amazing. They both are just incredible. Their backgrounds are awesome. Simone has fought so many worthy opponents. She has such an incredible story. Ikram, if we were able to read up on her, she actually trained herself as an amateur.
Oh, wow.
and met Roy down in Miami at one of the conventions, and the two of them connected. He saw something in her that no one else did, and he's taken her under her wing, and he's really excited to showcase her to the world, to show them what she can do.
I assume that you've seen her fight a few times then.
I've seen some clips, but to me that's not really witnessing what she's capable of, and we all know that each fight with each fighter is a different fighter. So what she's going to come out with tomorrow is completely different than what we've seen in the past.
How long have you been with Roy Jones?
I have actually been with him. My husband and I have been partners with him for almost 5 years now.
Oh, wow. Well, so he's doing this. I didn't realize he was doing this for this long because throughout the years I've covered boxing in town, it's either been Sugar Ray Leonard or Golden Boy who've come in, and they physically come in and take over their card. So they're very active in what they're doing locally. I assume that he's doing the same thing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And he loves the fact that he gets to be the face and he's the name, and he is just so excited to be here.
Yeah. Any events going on public that you're going to be doing tomorrow, or is it strictly boxing tomorrow?
It's strictly boxing tomorrow.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Well, I appreciate your time and talking about this. Is there anywhere they can go to get tickets online or otherwise, or at the casino?
They can actually come to Casino del Sol. They can purchase their tickets here. And, you know, just give me a shout-out when you're here, and I can probably throw you a UFC Fight Pass T-shirt.
Oh, okay. Great, Lisa. We'll probably see you there tomorrow. Enjoy Tucson and the weather. This doesn't happen very often this time of year. So enjoy it, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I can't wait to meet you guys tomorrow.
Great. Thank you, Lisa. That was Lisa Beltre. Thank you. Of Roy Jones Jr. Boxing Promotions, another boxing. Tucson is kind of underrated as a boxing place, Tom. I don't know if you know that, but they come in and out. We just had a big event here 2 weeks ago, as you know, with Top Rank. So every now and again, some good boxing.
Well, I rely on you for your boxing expertise.
You tell me your thunder and lightning thing. What is it?
You just must dream about that at night.
I do, because
Floyd Patterson taking on Ingemar Johansson. I'll bet Lisa probably knows about that.
And your Swedish accent. Yes.
Thunder and lightning.
Yeah. Yes. I just remember Rocky lines. That's all I remember. Get him. Let him rock it. Hey, let's take a break here in 10:30 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 10:30 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera. It's a pretty good show. I might have to save this for my best of. We're on break Monday. We have off Monday. I might have to put this on reserve for
Memorial Day.
Yeah, Memorial Day.
Or the Memorial Day holiday.
Yes. Yeah,
not the official Memorial Day.
Tom, you're confusing me now.
I know. I get confused by it, too.
So I think today's show might be one of those candidates for the best of shows for Steve Rivera here at the 5 to 7 hours. I'm enjoying this hours.
I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying your conversations, these reflections, and I'm liking it.
The good old days. You've been here a long time, right, Tom? You've never really left.
Well, since 99.
Oh, 99. So you kind of don't know anything before that. So
not
who,
much. I was, well, my mom and dad lived here.
Yeah.
And I was here for the 97
title?
National Championship.
So what, who's your best player in that time? Who would you consider your best players?
Well, I've always been a big Steve Kerr fan.
Yeah.
And Sean Elliott.
Of course, yeah. Those come to mind right away.
Yeah,
the
they old, do.
The older group.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
I guess I'd have to say Sean Elliott, but, you know, everybody does. But,
yeah.
You know, what can you do?
Outside of those guys. Because those are like your cheek questions.
You know who I've always liked? In addition to T.J. McConnell for their floor generalship and we're not going to lose attitude. Come on, you guys. You know, the rah, rah, rah. Nick Johnson.
Yeah. Greg brought him up. I think so, too, because he was one of those guys, those tough guys that kind of herded the cats, you know, for that team and kind of kept them in line along with T.J. McConnell.
You could see if you were in the late stages of the game, late in the second half.
Yeah.
And the team is just not on its game somehow.
Mm-hmm.
You can see Nick just sort of will take over.
Yeah.
And he'll either find a way to score or he'll get the ball to somebody who can score.
Had he been able to hit that shot against Wisconsin in that one game, he would have never had to buy another beer in this town again. Same with Jamel Horn back in 2011.
Oh, against Duke?
Against Duke.
Oh.
No, not against Duke, against Connecticut.
Oh, Connecticut, that's right.
Yeah, they had beaten Duke.
Yeah, right.
He too would have never had to, you know, kind of like you. You don't just show up, hey, Norm, whatever you want. Hey, Tom. Hey, we got to get rid of some tickets here for the Sugar Skulls this weekend.
Yes, they're taking on the Rattlers.
Yeah, we have another pair.
Is that Saturday?
Saturday, the evening.
I think it's at the TCC?
At the TCC, 6 o'clock. We have two tickets still. If you want to call us, be the first to call, 790-2040. If you also want to call and talk to me and say, Steve, you're full of it, I'm okay with that. If you want to agree with me on things, that's fine too. I need the self.
Or express your own opinion.
Or yes, that too. I need a pat in the back every now and again to reinforce this job. I'm joking, of course.
To put up with Tom.
Put up with Tom, yes. I'm going. This is what's getting me to heaven, Tom.
Working with me?
Yeah, working with you, yes. Yeah, working with you. I said, how do I get to heaven? I just work with Tom at KBOI.com, and there's your free pass. So here I am, 2 hours a day, working with Tom, talking sports. I could think of nothing better to do to get to heaven. So we're near the end of this show. I don't know if you guys knew, but the UA golf team lost today in dramatic fashion this morning to Duke. And apparently they must have won it all because, according to Greg, it seemed like the Wake Forest team was crying at the end. So Duke may have won it all today, and U of A had him on the ropes this afternoon, or this morning, I should say. But I'll recap. Softball began their quest to get back to the World Series for the first time since 2010. I'm hoping to talk to Taylor McClellan tomorrow to talk about her pitching exploits and how she can do, or what she can do to get them there. So that's one. And we saw that the notice of NCAA allegations is going to start to be out here to the schools involved. And, of course, Arizona is one of them. They'll be receiving their notice anytime soon. How quickly the NCAA reacts is anybody's guess. But I would assume that it would happen within the next 6 months because there's been a lot of workery. But we have a call. Susie, how are you? Thanks for calling.
Hi, this is me. I think that if they would give Book Richardson a, what are we calling it? A deferred, you know, where he just is on probation.
Probation, yes.
Yeah, probation. I would think he would be very hireable because if anybody's not going to mess around, it's going to be him.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I agree with that. But I also think that, not that he's going to be all right. I'm just thinking positively here now. He's in much in demand of what he does with the kids, teaching them how to play basketball. His personality is one of those where he can get a lot of kids in camp or have his own camp where he can help the Triers of the world become better basketball players. I would assume that if he is on probation, I'm not sure where we'd have to live, but that would be a course that he would have to take. Does that make sense?
Does he have children here? Because he's here and she's in New York.
Yeah, I'm not too sure if he does.
All that deal, I'm not either.
In fact, I did a big story in the Alumni Magazine 10 years ago on him, and we didn't talk about that. We just talked about him growing up and his love for the game and how it brought him here.
Well, he has a fatherly figure. I mean, I would say that the kids that would be working with him, he would give a...
Yeah,
and that's really good because a lot of those kids are away from home, first time, blah, blah, blah.
Yes, yes. He was, in fact, the go-between between the players and Sean. He was more of he was the Jim Rosborough of his time to Lute Olson. You know, everybody needs that good cop, bad cop, or you know what I'm talking about.
Sure, I do.
Yeah, if you're a parent, you know.
I just wish him well. Doggone, you know.
Yeah, yeah, I think you're...
I know everybody does it and la-di-da-di-da, but then they had to make somebody of...
The scapegoat. Yeah. No, I get it. You're along the good side of Richard, Coach Book. There are some who not because what he brought. And I understand it. You can understand both sides.
Yeah, I guess. Although we'll weather the storm. And with a good team, I mean, oh, man, I can't wait.
Yeah, I think you're, there's about 100% of those people who can't wait till the freshmen show up and see what they do. Are you not in agreement with me, or not? You don't have to be in agreement with me, but you're not concerned about the freshmen coming in and maybe the program being settled because there's a bunch of them? You're going to rely on a lot of freshmen to get this ship right?
Well, got to learn how to take pressure soon enough. I agree with you. It's hard. Well, I see. I hadn't thought of it in that regard. It's kind of hard on those kids, boy.
Yeah.
You know, like Shaq said, like you saying, Shaq's sticking around for his kid. I mean, you know.
Right.
I don't know if the kid wants to play. Is a kid any good at basketball? I don't even know anything about it.
Oh, we talk about LeBron, you mean?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. LeBron,
yeah.
I mean. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I was wondering
LeBron.
Who you said, Shaq. I'm not too sure.
Does this kid have any athletic ability?
I'm sure. Oh, yeah, yeah. He plays, and he's pretty good.
He's playing high school basketball right
now.
Yeah,
he's pretty good.
And he is good.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then, there you have it. I don't know. I guess what I would say is I still think they should make some kind of rule on the school deal because what happens to these kids is they get out, they hurt themselves after like 5 years of playing, and then they've never graduated from college, so what are they going to do? And if they didn't save their money, they're back. I mean, look, that's when these kids are getting into trouble. Look at Kellen Winslow Jr.
Right. Well, that's an extreme, but I get what you're saying. And that's been the age-old question. Well, what happens when you're done with basketball and you don't have that degree? The thing you do have is a lot of money. If you don't save it, well, that's probably on you. But I totally get that's kind of like the chicken and the egg question. There's no real answer to it because that degree is important. And a lot of them come back. You see a lot of the U of A guys come back at some point to get their degree. And by that time, they've already established themselves as good career guys. Look at JB. It wasn't until maybe a couple of years ago when he got his degree, but he was already on track to become a pretty good coach. And look where his path is now. He's doing very well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Right. Susie?
All right. Love your show. I agree with your, I don't know, was he your boss at the time?
Greg?
It's a guy's name.
Greg?
Yeah, Greg.
Yeah, no. We were competitors.
Yeah, you're not that old.
No. But he worked at the Star and I worked at the Citizen.
Right, gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, so we were competitors in a friendly way. Yes.
Yeah, I enjoyed that conversation. You had a good. That was good. He
great.
Was interesting.
Yeah, we've known each other for a long time.
I bet.
Great. Thank you, Susie, for listening.
Care.
I'm glad you liked
the show.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Appreciate it. So we had Tom, cut that check to Susie. I owe her money now for calling in and saying it's a good show.
Is that a $10 or a $20?
The good thing is there haven't been many callers, so I have a lot of money in the till here.
All right.
Could you get a receipt with that too, though, just to make sure?
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
We'll definitely do that
for processing services.
Yes. So be added to your retirement fund.
Yes, that'll get me as far as. Eloy. Where'd you retire to, Eloy?
You'd go that way? I thought you would head towards Santa Fe.
I would go to Santa Fe.
Okay.
That would get me to Wilcox. Well, it depends on the gas prices. I think it would get me to Wilcox right now. Hoping it goes down a little. Hey, but a good show. I think we're going to use this for my Monday show of next week as we celebrate or commemorate Memorial Day for our troops. Past big day. So, hey, let's call it a day here, Mr. Thomas.
Well, sir, you're the boss.
Good day here.
If you want to say goodbye, we'll say goodbye.
Tomorrow's another day. I hope to get some pretty good guests here. As everyone knows, I'm relying on my guests to make this show good.
Are we going
to
hear some talk about the U.S. ladies soccer team? Did you say, or was that something else I heard?
That was somebody. I think that was Chris DeSimone. He had.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Yeah.
That's tomorrow morning.
I'm better looking, Tom. Come on.
All right.
I'm better looking than Chris. At least I think so. No votes, please. No votes. Hey, thanks for listening, everybody. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow, same time, 5-7. And goodbye here on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk.